Now, Psalm 32 is a well-known psalm. In fact, together with Psalm 51, this psalm is one of the two great penitential psalms of King David, where King David confesses his sin and seeks the Lord for forgiveness and grace. Of course, whether or not this psalm was, as with Psalm 51 in fact, whether or not it was written on the occasion of David's sordid adultery with Bathsheba and his cold-blooded and calculated murder of Uriah the Hittite, we just don't know. It could be, it may not be. But nevertheless, it is a psalm where sin within David's life and the effects of sin upon David's life, where these are confronted. It's a penitential psalm. However, that is not all that this psalm is about. Not at all. In fact, that's a very easy mistake for us to make, isn't it? It's very easy for us to consider that this psalm is just a penitential psalm where sin and the effects of sin are confronted. And yes, it is that. It is that. But it's more than that. Now, let me show you why. Now, notice in particular the closing verse, verse 11, which is actually very similar to the first verse of Psalm 33, which Ben read to us a moment ago. But notice verse 11 of this psalm. This is the summing up verse, so to speak. This is the verse which gives to us David's intent and David's application. This is the verse which tells us how David wants us, his readers and his hearers today, how he wants us to respond and to react to this, his psalm. It's his summing up verse. So let me read that verse to you again, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Wow. That's somewhat unexpected, isn't it? That's a surprise. So what does David want from us? He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to be glad. He wants us to sing. He wants us to have joy in the Lord. That's what he wants. That's his intent. Isn't that amazing? You see, for a psalm that is about sin and the effects of sin upon our lives, we simply wouldn't expect that, would we? Well, I wouldn't anyway. In a sense, we would expect to be called upon to be somber and to be serious and to be cast down and to be repentant about our sin, about our own sin. But though David truly wants us to confront the sin and the effects of sin within our lives, he does want us to do that. But he also wants us to rejoice, doesn't he? He wants us to sing, to shout for joy. Now, isn't that surprising? But that's David's intent within this psalm. So what then is the basis for our joy? Well, fundamentally, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. We see that, don't we, in that psalm? Our joy is in God himself, in our relationship with God, that we can know God and grow in our knowledge of God. Our joy is in God. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. That's exactly what David writes, isn't it? But it's not just joy in God in some sort of abstract or some sort of unconnected sense. No. For David, throughout this psalm, has given us good reasons why, in particular, we should rejoice in the Lord. In fact, there are four good reasons which we shall consider over the next few moments. There may be more, in fact, there are more, but these four will suffice for this evening. So, why should we rejoice? Why? Well, firstly, and probably the most clearest reason given within this psalm, it's because of God's forgiveness. forgiveness of our sin, seen in verses 1 to 5 in particular. For example, in verse 1 we read, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Now, forgiveness is something that is utterly amazing. It truly is. We know that. Isn't that right? It's amazing. Whether it's the forgiveness of unfaithfulness within a marriage, or the theft of something precious from us, or the slander of a good name. It's something amazing. For when somebody forgives someone else such things, we are rightly amazed. We should be. Sounds so unbelievable, doesn't it? Forgiveness. We look into our own hearts, and we're not so sure that we, in those very same circumstances, that we would be so forgiving ourselves, that we would be so kind. We're not so sure, are we? Amazing forgiveness. But you see, that's exactly the point, isn't it? Forgiveness, at the end of the day, is an act of sheer, utter kindness. Forgiveness is something that's given to someone which they do not deserve. Forgiveness, if it's genuine, is truly an amazing thing. And that's a challenge in its own right for us, as we forgive others, as we should forgive others. However, God's forgiveness of us, well, it's far, far greater than any mere human forgiveness, isn't it? For when one person violates another person, that's dreadful. That's dreadful. We can barely contemplate some of the wicked and evil things that have been done by people within this world upon others. Far worse than any of those merely human examples. Every one of us has shockingly violated our own relationship with God. Every one of us. Now think about that for a moment. God has made us, hasn't he, to know him and to enjoy him, to have a relationship with him. We've been made in God's image. He has given us absolutely everything we have, the very breath we breathe, the very lives we live. He's our maker. And God didn't have to do any of that for us. Not even the smallest thing, no. And what do we do? What does men and women in this world do? What do? How do we treat God? What's our relationship with him and our attitude towards him? Well, instead of giving to God that absolute allegiance and that total love which we owe to him as our creator and maker, instead we ignore him. We reject him. We turn our backs on him. We live to please ourselves. He only comes to our attention when we blame him for things that go wrong in our lives. We, as it were, shake our fists in God's face. Now, surely that is the greatest relationship violation of all. The greatest. Ignoring, rejecting, blaming, hating God, our own maker. Barton, isn't this incredible? Isn't it incredible? With all our awful violation of God, with him there is still forgiveness. That's astonishing, isn't it? Psalm 130, verse 4. But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, with awe, serve you. However, with that reverence, with that awe, with that wonder, with that worship, and with that service, should also come joy. Joy in God's forgiveness. Blessed is the one whose sin is covered. And of course, that forgiveness from God comes out of his sheer kindness, his grace to us. It's amazing grace. But that forgiveness also comes at a great price, doesn't it? fact, all forgiveness comes at a price. But God's forgiveness of ours comes at the greatest price of all. It comes at the great price of the death of God's own Son upon the cross for us. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. However, let's move on. We'll spend a little bit less time on these other three reasons. But the first of these other reasons, or the second reason, according to David, for joy in the Lord, the second reason is found in verses 6 and 7. It's the reason of God's safety, or rather, it's the reason of our own safety in God. Notice verse 7. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts or with songs of deliverance. Isn't that a wonderful truth, isn't it? God is our hiding place. Of course, God is our hiding place from the guilt of sin. Why? Because Jesus is the Rock of Ages, cleft for us. But God is also our hiding place in times of suffering, and in times of change, and in times of pandemic, and even in times of loneliness. God is our hiding place. Proverbs 18, verse 24, a well-known verse. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God is our hiding place, and we can rejoice in that, can't we? Thirdly, we can rejoice in God's care. God's care. This is seen in verses 8 and 9. Notice in particular the end of verse 8. I will, God says, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Isn't that beautiful? Therefore, we can depend upon God, can't we? We can trust in his guidance and in his providence. For God truly and wonderfully cares for us. And what joy that should bring to our hearts. What joy. Yes, we may not understand all that happens to us in this world. Much of what happens to us within this world. But what we do know is that the one who's in full control of what happens within this world cares for us. He cares for us. And how do we know that he cares for us? How do we know? Because he gave his own beloved son for us. Romans 8, verse 32. Notice the logic. Amazing logic in this verse from Paul. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Paul there is arguing from the greater to the lesser. The greatest gift, the greatest thing that God does for us that shows his love and care is that he gave his own son. If he gave his own son, the greatest thing, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Son is the greatest, everything else is second. But we know that he will care for us because he gave his own son. We can rejoice in God's care of us. Fourthly, finally, not only do we rejoice in God's forgiveness and God's safety and God's care, preeminently, we rejoice in God's love. God's love. Verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Isn't that good? In other words, that wonderful, mutual, self-giving love within the Trinity, between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that love overflows to us, his covenant people. But the question is, do you rejoice in that love? Do you? Sadly, many Christians don't. Rather, they're still afraid of God. But no, we need to enjoy God's love for us. It's what God wants us to do. We don't need to be afraid of God. He knows us through and through. Therefore, we do not need to hang back, as it were, from God. No. He knows us. We can draw near to him with confidence. In fact, we don't need to fear anything, do we? If we know God's love in our experience, if we have turned in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ, we do not need to fear anything. 1 John 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And God's glorious, undeserved love for us also means that we ourselves should love others. That's the outworking of God's love for us should be worked out in our love to others. And we can take risks in that, can't we? Knowing that we cannot lose God's love for us, we can take risks for God. Why? In the sure and certain knowledge of the security of his love for us. It's what Paul prays, doesn't he? Or Paul states in that verse from Philippians, how he wants to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the participation of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. He wants to share in Christ's sufferings. How did Christ suffer for the church? We can't die for the church like Christ did, but we can suffer for the church, put ourselves out for the church. And we can do that, can't we? Take risks. Why? Because we know that God loves us. Can't lose that. There's a security in God's love. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. What an encouragement that is. May we rejoice in God's forgiveness, in God's care, in God's safety, and preeminently in God's love. Amen. Well, let's spend just a few moments in prayer, in open prayer, in response to that psalm. I'm going to begin, and there's going to be a roving mic here, so as people pray here, they will be heard on the internet by others, not in the building, but that's fine. But so I'll open in prayer, and the number will pray, hopefully. Evie will come around with the roving mic, and then Ben will come up and take the meeting from here on. But let's pray. Oh, our gracious Father, we are saddened that we do not rejoice in the Lord as much as we should. Lord, forgive us that we are so often earthbound, taken up with the things of this world, the sorrows and hardships of this world, which your word tells us we will face in our lives. But Lord, we have the pearl of great price. What do the things of this world compare with knowing Christ? Growing in knowledge of him, rejoicing in the Lord. Oh Lord, we pray for greater joy, greater experience of your forgiveness, of your safety, of your care, of your love in our lives. Help us truly to joy in you, to rejoice in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And we pray that the Spirit would help us to do this. Amen.